You're about to find out how you can encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm going to talk to my son-in-law, Ryan, about that very subject.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, thank you so much for being part of the broadcast this week. This is Michael Brown. As I speak these words, I am sitting in Seoul, Korea, and we are in the midst of a great conference here. People have come from a couple dozen plus nations, young people in particular, to pray, to cry out to God for visitation, to pray for the younger generation. And I get to share with just a lot of different people, a lot of different settings, and we're really believing God for impact. You know, it's easy to see what's wrong with this generation and what's wrong with the older generation, what's wrong here and what's wrong there, but God doesn't see that as much as he sees what can be done. Of course, he sees the problems. Of course, he's grieved over the issues. Of course, he sees what we don't see and can give us an acute diagnosis, whereas we can just get the vaguest idea. But God's not pessimistically throwing his hands up saying, well, nothing we can do. No, God has solutions. And the solutions are all ultimately found in Jesus, the Son of God. They're all ultimately found in the Word of God that God has given us. They're ultimately found in God himself. So for years now, I've spent a lot of time around on fire, seriously committed young people. And as I spend time with them, I see the same fire burning today that I saw burning 10 years ago or 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. In other words, among the people where God is moving, the move remains strong. So by all means, be encouraged. God is working in young people that want to make a difference, that want to give their lives for the gospel, and they are going after him in a serious way. And again, on Friday, we'll be praying in the demilitarized zone in the DMZ. And but with permission and everything to be there. And we're just praying for the unification of the country. Of course, many have prayed for this for years, interceded with many tears for the northern part of the nation, as North and South Korea have been divided these many decades. And of course, North Korea has come under the horrific leadership of a cult-driven emperor worship, just pathetic. And for years now, it's ranked as the worst country for a Christian to live. You don't just have open persecution, you have government-sponsored persecution of the most horrific nature. So we're going to be continuing to pray. And one other thing I want to share with you, I was talking with a brother yesterday working in Indonesia, heard more about some key churches in Indonesia and what they're doing and how many Muslims are coming to faith and how much outreach is taking place. And you've got a small percentage of the population, a small percentage of the population that is seriously devout Muslim, but the great majority of the population is not devout. In other words, it's traditional, it's fairly secular. That's the Islam that President Obama was exposed to as a child, and that's probably what he identifies as Islam and looks at the more devoted forms as being perversions, whereas the more devoted forms in many ways are more accurate as to what real Islam is. But because of that, there is a tremendous freedom for the gospel to be preached and so many Muslims coming to faith. All right, we come back. I'm taking you into an interview that I recorded just 2 days before leaving for Korea with my son-in-law, Ryan Bruss. And we're going to talk about a little book he wrote, How to Encourage Yourself in the Lord. We're going to talk about how to get grounded in the love of God, how to bring your own kids into the love of God. So we want to encourage you on the broadcast, and I do covet your prayers as I'm here in Korea, still keeping up my writing schedule, and of course, keeping up our radio schedule. As always, a privilege and a delight and an honor to be with you on the air. If you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others, stand with us in prayer, and become one of our torchbearers, one of our faithful monthly supporters. Thanks in advance for standing with us. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, this is a special time on The Line of Fire. I'm sitting here with my son-in-law, Ryan. Ryan married our younger daughter, Megan, but our younger daughter got married first. So Ryan and Megan are the parents of our two eldest grandkids, who are 15 and 12. And then our older daughter, Jen, she and her husband have two other kids that are 12 and 9. So we knew Ryan first as a student in our ministry school. In fact, he was the very first one to physically register when school started to physically be there at our campus. And as the prize, he got our younger daughter. That's just the way it worked out. So there are a bunch of things I want to talk to Ryan about. He's done all kinds of ministry. He's led ministry school. He's preached in different nations and in America. He's a house church leader now and then serves in other capacities and helping in other ministries. But I said, you know, Ryan, let's do this interview because there's a lot we can talk about that would edify and build up our listening audience. So right before leaving for Korea, I said, let's do this together, and we want to air this for you. So Ryan, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you. It's an absolute privilege. Of course, you being my father-in-law, it doesn't hurt that I get to make it on The Line of Fire today. So this is a thrill. Thank you.
All right. So before we talk about some things to edify, build up, encourage our listeners, what would you say is something that people we gotta be careful here, that people might be surprised to hear, or something that's encouraged you behind the scenes watching me over the years? Because, you know, outside of my wife and daughters, you know us better than anybody. You know me, you know Nancy better than anybody. So what would be either something that might surprise people or something that's been encouraging or positive to you, you know, watching behind the scenes?
Well, there's many things I could say, but not on the air. But one thing I will say, in all my travels and all the people that I come across, even world leaders, people that you see on TV, across the board, the level of love and appreciation that they have for your ministry, not only for your ministry, but the way that you debate people, dialogue. And everybody says they love what you do, they love who you are, and the compassion that you carry for the people that you're ministering to, even though many of them are hateful and throwing a lot of stones, across the board, there's such a respect for what you do. I'm talking about nationally, internationally, and it just seems like everybody you bump into. When I say I did it the other day with a leader that most would know on this show, and they said, wait, Dr. Michael Brown's your father-in-law? You're kidding me. You're kidding me. I love his stuff. And anyway, it really, knowing you behind the scenes, knowing you as an international leader, you're the same person. You go after God just as strong and just as powerful and just as intense behind the scenes, in the same way that you preach it in front of the crowds.
So, I mean, that's neat to hear. And I thought you were going to give more of a funny story, but I appreciate that. But if people, more and more people know me for my compassion, you've known me now for what, 20 years, you know, in a close firsthand way as a student and then as part of the family and then on our ministry team serving in so many different ways. But that's not like who I was by nature. I mean, more like just the prophetic, get the sin out, get right with God. So if God could put compassion in me, he could put in anybody.
No, I agree. And I think that even as I've seen you over the years, your compassion has increased, and so has your knowledge, and so has your gifting, and so has your influence. In other words, you're not becoming harder as ministry does that to people sometimes, but you're becoming more compassionate. And it's one of the hallmarks of who you are, the way you love people through their sin. And there's no excuse for it. You don't excuse it, but you love them through it and you're compassionate. And it's really something to see because it stands out very well.
Again, I appreciate that. And I say that God knows not to lift me up, but to say if I could be known for compassion, and it's the grace of God at work in us. You mentioned debating. Well, sometimes at the School of Ministry, it's a special thing. They've done it on my birthday, that we have the students do these silly debates with me. You know, who's louder, New Yorkers or Puerto Ricans? You know, which pizza's better? This, you know, this place. And each side has like a minute to present their arguments. And they tell me, okay, I'm going to be on this side or that side. And then it's really silly stuff. You go back and forth and you know, you have fun, try to rebut each other, and it goes really quick. So we actually did that as a family. We did it with you and Megan, your two kids, and Nancy and me. And we did these little debates. I mean, the dumbest things, but, you know, tight pants are better than loose pants, and the kids having to debate us. And anyway, everybody did well. We have kind of a debating family. But Ryan, you have a mini book that you put out. Folks can get the ebook easily on Amazon, How to Encourage Yourself in the Lord. And you've, as long as I've known you, you've been an encourager in your house church, in ministering to others, and your posts on your Facebook page. There is always a flow of encouragement coming out from you. So that means you're receiving it from God. You've had to learn how to encourage yourself. You lost your dad at a young age to cancer. You've had enough challenges over the course of life like anyone else would, and some that are heavier than others. You've lived this out. Let's go through this. Just share your heart for a few minutes with our listeners. Then get the book and read more. And to get the book, Ryan Bruss, Bruss. It's a fun read, full of scripture. But what are some of the keys?
Well, one thing that I had to come to grips with is that everybody goes through trials. And I'm not any different. My trial is not greater or less than the next person, but everybody does go through trials. And the Bible says in Psalm 34 that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And I started to look back at my life, all the afflictions, so to speak, that I have had happened to me. And truly the Lord, everything that I've gone through, I've gone through it. The Lord has delivered me out of. And anything that anybody's listening to right now that you're still going through a trial, the bottom line is you will get through it one way or another, because the Lord does deliver us out of them all. But the very first thing that we have to know when we're going through a trial, that no matter what, God is with us. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us, always to be present and by our side. And, you know, so we don't like to go through stuff. Nobody does. God did not rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego until they were in the fire. He didn't rescue Daniel until he was in the lion's den. He didn't get Joseph until he was in prison. And God is just showing us and showed me how faithful he is before, during, and after the trial. Yes, we go through stuff, but his promises are true, that if you will trust me, if you will rest in my love, which is a big key, the Father's love, and we can talk about that later, but resting in the Father's love, because that's how I encourage myself first and foremost, is of course the promises of God, but knowing no matter what, I am absolutely 100% adored by the Father. It doesn't mean that he's always 100% pleased with everything I say or do, but he is still my Father. And he loves me and he's there for me. So the very first thing that we have to do, though, is realize that God is with us.
All right, so I'm down. I'm discouraged. I just lost my job. I'm going to lose my house. We just got a bad diagnosis for our kid. You know, real life struggles. I just went through a painful church split. I'm emotionally down. I'm going through a hard time. What do I do? Do I speak the word to myself? Do I get alone and read the Bible? What do you tell someone in terms of, the first steps? You're giving me the concept now that God's with me. What am I supposed to do to get that in me?
Well, here's what you do. The very first thing that you have to do is it takes the wind out of everybody. It knocks the wind out of everybody. Bad news, trials, a bad report. Everybody gets hit for a moment. But the first thing that you have to do, and David did this many times, is you have to just do what he said in Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The first thing you do, you get your peace back. You say, Lord, you keep those in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on thee. You get your peace back, and then you worship. Lord, I don't understand, but I worship you. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that everybody's got to know. That it, whatever you're facing, if you have a $900 bill you have to pay next week and you don't have $9, you're going to be tempted to give in with discouragement, stress, anxiety, fear. So if you're going to use an emotion, even a negative emotion, you're wasting yourself. You're wasting physically, emotionally, spiritually. You're wasting life. You're wasting your breath. So if you're going to use an emotion that will not change the problem, you might as well choose joy. You might as well get happy. Lord, I can't pay this bill, but I know you can. And discouragement's not going to help. So I'm going to rejoice in you, and I'm going to start worshiping you because you're a good Father.
So there is a choice that I make. It's not that I can instantly change my emotions, but I can choose to look up. I can choose to praise God. So I have to make that effort. Sometimes we get caught up in self-pity. And if I will begin to do that by choice, which is a choice we can make, it's not like I can't fly. All right, no, but I can determine I'm going to praise God. I'm going to bless God. And we've got to be willing to let the negative mindset, emotions go. I'm talking with my son-in-law, Ryan Bruss. He's got a great little encouraging mini book by the title of How to Encourage Yourself in the Lord. You can download it on Amazon. And everybody goes through discouragement. We can live in the encouragement from heaven. A lot more to talk about with my very own son-in-law, Ryan Bruss. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. If you're just tuning in, I am in South Korea for special meetings as we're praying for the younger generation to have their own encounter with God, and for revival to fall in the younger generation as it has fallen in the older generations there in Korea. And we're interspersing updates from Korea, broadcasts from Korea, with interviews I recorded right before leaving for Korea. So over the course of the week, you'll be hearing from me every day. No guest host this week, but some great interviews. And today, a real privilege. I mean, I could easily do this every day. We've got so much to talk about. But this is a rarity that we've actually done it. My son-in-law, Ryan Bruss. Ryan is married to our younger daughter, Megan, and our 15-year-old granddaughter, Eliana, and 12-year-old, going on 13-year-old, grandson, Andrew. Those are Ryan and Megan's kids. I'm not going to give out a number because we're not taking calls today, but Ryan's written a little book called How to Encourage Yourself in the Lord. You can download it on Amazon, Ryan Bruss, B-R-U-S-S. And I asked Ryan, okay, where do we start? You're discouraged, you're downcast, you're struggling, you've got some real needs that are pressing on you. And sometimes the smallest things, man, they can get to us. Sometimes there is a straw that breaks the camel's back, and your emotions go down, and you lose sight of faith and hope, and the world just seems dark around you. Ryan said, first thing, recognize that God is with you. It is His truth. It is His word. And then make the determination, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will thank Him, and no matter what I'm going through, because He remains good no matter what. So, Ryan, you begin to do that. You realize, okay, God is with me. No matter what's happening, God's with me, because you feel sometimes as if you're abandoned. And then you begin to honor God, bless God, praise God, maybe remember things He's done in the past, but say good things about Him. Be thankful. What next?
Well, just to clarify also, before the break, you said it's a choice. And you couldn't have said it any better. The bottom line is, I feel David was saying in Psalm 34:1, I'm going to choose to bless the Lord. He wrote that psalm when he pretended madness in before the king. And he was choosing to praise instead of, like you said, wallowing in self-pity. Now, I have to say to those listening, every time that I choose to worship, I sense His presence, and it's not always a feeling. I sense His presence, or He whispers a promise to me. It's going to be okay, son. Or I just do feel His presence. But when I make the choice, and I am telling you, there's been many times when the devil's tried to get in and defeat or discourage, I don't feel like worshiping. I do not. And it's in the book that how key worship is. I don't feel like it, but if I press through and I break through with praise and worship, He always visits me. There's many different ways that He visits, but He always visits. You see, the devil's power is so limited that he's got to tempt us to sin. He can't make you get discouraged. He can't make you lose your temper. He can't make you do anything, but he can tempt you to go eat a pint of ice cream and watch TV all night instead of choosing to worship. And so, yes, we have to make that choice to get down on our knees or walk the floor to say, Jesus, I worship you. I love you. And then the room, you begin to sense the presence of God in the room. And he begins to touch you. He begins to fill you. And then what will happen after that? A chain of events will begin to happen. You'll begin to hear the promises of God. You'll begin to hear that still small voice. You'll get a phone call. You'll see something that will remind you of how good the Father is. Worship sets off a chain of events that puts you, it realigns your heart to the truth of who God is, what he's done, and what he promises to do in your life.
All right. And as you're saying this, I mean, I'm thinking back in my own life. I'm thinking back to times doing it. And it's really like the whole atmosphere goes from darkness to light. Is it important for people to encourage themselves in the Lord to have a discipline at other times? Let me explain what I mean. I always encourage people to pray and to plan when they're strong, to make provision for when they're weak. How important is it to be in the Word on a regular basis so I have the Word in my heart, mind, I have something to draw on, so when I go through those hard times, there's some kind of a reserve?
Very good point. I think about Daniel. I don't want to catch up on my prayer life when I'm getting thrown into some lion's den. When I'm getting thrown into the fire, I don't want to start praising then and learning how to praise then. The key, like you said, I feel that we can build up the reservoir of the presence of God, the reality of God, by spending time with him every day. And so when tragedy hits or trauma, or even sometimes, like you said, the slightest thing can throw people off, it's because they haven't been building up that reservoir of the presence and knowledge of God. And I do that all the time. I'm constantly in the Word. Jude says, keep yourself in the love of God. And I tell myself that every day, Lord, I keep myself in your love. And I thank you that today nothing can separate me from your love, or I'm more than a conqueror. You know the verses, and I quote those, but I don't just quote the verses and then move on. I quote them by faith. And I let my heart be strengthened, like Ephesians said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then you spend time every day worshiping. And I do this almost every day. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning, as soon as I open my eyes, I don't grab Facebook. I don't grab my cell phone. Jesus, I love you. I worship you. Oh, Lord, fill me with your presence today. Give me divine appointments. And then, you know, I just kind of move on with my day. But the Bible says pray without ceasing. And it's not a works thing. It's not a tough thing. It's not something that I have to be stressed out about. It's all about relationship. It's about enjoying the Lord, which most people don't realize how much they can enjoy the Lord.
So a quick question just before we go to break. You talk about enjoying the Lord. Do you think that God enjoys us?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think of your grandkids, my kids, how much I enjoy them. I mean, I love watching my son play baseball more than he knows. The first game he ever played, I was a crazy parent, jumping up and down on the fence, and I look crazy. My daughter, they sometimes won't even let me come to the horse shows anymore because I'm too loud and I want to jump over the fence. She fell one time and my leg was over the fence to go help her, and everybody's like, no, stay back. I'm just so into it. I love my kids when they're good or when they're not so good. I mean, they're almost always perfect, let's be honest. But when they're not perfect, just like you and I are not perfect, but I enjoy them. I enjoy who they are, what they do, where they're going. I enjoy everything about it. So how much more the Lord? How much more the Father, his enjoyment over us?
Yeah, and it is interesting. We understand the kids aren't perfect, but close. But every time I see the grandkids, and it could be every day, there have been seasons where we've been in the same house all together. Every time I get this joy, just seeing them and just being around them. So if you can grasp that, you say, me? God enjoys me? If you're his child, yes, yeah, there are times he has to discipline us, and there are times we can grieve him, but he loves us with that intensity that he actually enjoys us, which then helps us enjoy God. Talk about life-changing insights. All right, friends, I've got more to come with my son-in-law, Ryan Bruss. Have you signed up for our Israel trip yet? If not, I want to ask Ryan when we come back what his favorite country is. In the meantime, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Check out our latest articles and our special resource offer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, your friendly voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. All this week, coming your way from South Korea. Again, I'm going to keep asking through the week, pray for God to move in these meetings. South Korea is a country with one of the most unique Christian histories in the world, an incredible prayer tradition. You'll be blown away. You'll go to a church literally at 4:30 in the morning, and there can be thousands of people crying out, and they're doing it day in, day out, year in, year out. And yet, the younger generation is dropping out of church. The younger generation is not walking in the same faith as their parents and sometimes grandparents and beyond have done. So we're here for a special conference. So I've been giving you updates from Korea, catching up on news that's happening, as well as broadcasting special interviews that we recorded right before leaving for Korea. So all that interspersed through the week. And I trust you've been blessed by interviews you've heard so far. Today, I'm with my son-in-law, Ryan Bruss, and he's couldn't be any closer if he was my own physical son, part of our family, and the father of our two eldest grandkids. And talking about the love of God, the love of the Father, we obviously think of our earthly fathers, and if we were raised in a good home, the love that they had for us, the question of how much more does God have love for us. So, Ryan, when you think of Eliana, she's 15 now, our oldest granddaughter, your oldest child, if you think of just something that is so special about her, what's one of the first things that comes to mind?
Well, I'm not going to lie. She's got a wit like her grandpa, and she knows how to, you know, just go toe-to-toe with anybody, but she's beautiful, and she's got one of the most compassionate and sincere hearts of any girl her age that I know. But I prayed for a girl first. I said, God, we would like a daughter first, and I prayed, and God gave us Eliana, and she has been dad's girl this whole time, and I love how much she loves life.
All right. Then Andrew, freckle-faced, baseball-playing Andrew, 12 years old. And friends, I'm not just talking about my grandkids here. I'm doing this for a larger reason. You think of Andrew, first thing comes to mind.
First thing that comes to mind is how much he likes to make people laugh. If he can do a little something, say a little something, act a certain way, and he wants to see if he gets a laugh out of you. So I love how free-spirited Andrew is.
All right, so here we're boasting about my grandkids, your kids. How do you think the Heavenly Father feels about it? Do you think this? I've asked this before, but to ask you from this angle, that type of affection, that type of joy, even that type of parental pride.
Absolutely. I remember one time looking out my two-story window and seeing my son run around the yard. He was playing, laughing as he does. He's a laugher. He just loves life. And I was just looking at him out the window, and I was smiling, real big, proud dad. And I heard the voice of God say to me, "You see, you don't remember a negative thing he's ever done. All you have is joy and love, and you're enjoying him." And the Lord said to me, "It's the same thing with you, Ryan. When you ask for forgiveness, clean slate. I look at you, and I always do look at you with enjoyment and joy, but I don't stand over you as somebody that's a sinner, that's done all these things wrong. I look at you and over you as Zephaniah 3:17. I'm just rejoicing over you, dancing over you, and I don't remember a thing you've ever done because it's under the blood."
Yeah. So do we believe that about our Father, or do we live our whole spiritual lives in the doghouse? Friends, the more you understand the love of the Father, the more you'll love what he loves and hate what he hates. It's not some license to sin. Quite the contrary. When you have that loving, intimate relationship, it drives you to him, not from him. Meditate on it and ask yourself, have you ever realized how deeply God loves you and even enjoys you as his child. We come back, I want to ask my son-in-law Ryan about his favorite country and why.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so blessed to have this time with you. And, you know, one thing about talk radio, you really do build up family relations with people, even though you only get to hear from a tiny fraction. I mean, for every listener, you may get one call or one in 10,000, you know, one in 1,000, one in 10,000 actually will call. But there is this feeling of family. We share our lives together. I'm with you as you're driving in your car, you're at home with homeschooling your little kids or as you're jogging. So it's a great relationship to have. And I thought having my son-in-law Ryan on, we could talk about family, but in a way to edify you as well. And we want to talk more about the love of God, the love of the Father. But Ryan, you've been in a bunch of countries. I know you've been to South America, some Latin America. You've been to Europe. You've been over the far east, different places like that. But you told me a while ago that you had favorite country. You've been to Italy now for the first time. So I'm curious to know what your favorite country is and why it is.
Well, I've had the privilege of going to over 20 countries. And by far, far and away, my favorite country, I could go there every month easily, is Israel. And what happens when you go there, it does something in your heart. I don't know about anybody else listening, but when I can walk on the Sea of Galilee, not on the actual Sea of Galilee, but that would be amazing. But when I can walk along the Sea of Galilee, right where, even if the Sea of Galilee evaporated a number of feet, that I know that my steps are right in line with where Jesus was. It just brings tears in my eyes every time. See, Israel to me is the Bible in 3D. It just, everything comes alive, the stories. And I want to encourage everybody who's listening, if you can go with Dr. Michael Brown, my father-in-law, to Israel, it will change your life forever. I can promise you that. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the presence of God. If you go with an open heart, it changes you forever. I've been there now over 7 times, actually. And every time I'm thrilled as much as the first time I went there.
Yeah. And I was just reminded of, and I was thinking about the tour to Israel, how you've been impacted. So friends, if you haven't signed up yet, it's absolutely worth it. You will see for yourselves. February 25th to March 6th. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and you'll see it right on the homepage. Nancy, so Ryan's mother-in-law, my wife, bride of more than 40 years, Nancy, grew up very differently than I did. Her mom was married 4 times. She never really had a relationship where she felt like she had a father really caring for her in her life. And quite the contrary with me, I had this incredibly loving father. And mom and dad happily married until my dad suddenly passed away shortly after Nancy and I were married and had our first child. And Ryan, you went through something different in terms of losing a father. And I know even the first, it took us a few years to really figure out this father-son relationship. And I remember there's something was missing and I didn't know what it was. You were aware of it and I was trying to fix it and I didn't know what it was. And just in prayer, God took me through this thing as if I had been there through your life and seen you losing your dad. And something happened in me, and that was the thing that you had needed from me that God brought into us. So we had this wonderful closeness. But what was it like? Just share some of that painful history. How old your dad was, a Vietnam veteran, suffered from Agent Orange consequences, and what you went through, and then what you've learned now about the love of the Father since then.
My father died when he was 38 years old. I was 12 years old when he died, but he was sick for 5 of those 12 years. So from 7 to 12 is when he had cancer. He would come to my football games and so on and so forth. Well, bald head from the chemotherapy. He could hardly hear, but he still loved the Lord through it all. It was amazing. But it devastates a young boy, especially I was the oldest. And the last time I ever saw my father alive was when he was getting wheeled out of my house once again because the cancer had just so taken over his body. So my father died when I was 12. You know, that was over 30 years ago now. And here's what I've learned. One of the main things, and this is what I teach people, that we all go through hard times. We all go through horrible things, some 10 times worse than what I've been through, 100 times worse. And there's no comparison. But here's what I learned, that though we don't always forget what happened, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He takes the sting out of the situation. So when I remember my father dying, it's a memory. It's not pain. It's just a memory. But I had to go through a process of living that out. First, getting my wounds healed, and you know, my heart healed, and things that you've mentioned. That's definitely part of the process. But because I grew up without a father, and my mother never married, growing up without a father, I decided to go on a search of the Father's love. And I did not stop until I got it. And there's a principle when you go through the Bible, and whether it's healing, miracles, the Father's love, peace, joy, there's a principle in the Word that whatever you behold in God, that's what you become. And then it transforms you. And I beheld the love of the Father night and day. I mean, I paid the price. It's a whole choosing thing. I chose, Father, if you are a good father, my dad died. What's up with that? So I got to know that you're still a good father. And I studied the Song of Solomon. I studied the life of David, which really ministered to me. And I learned, and I beheld the Father's love, and I beheld the Father's love. And the Bible says that what Jesus said, when you see me, Jesus, you see the Father. So the same way that Jesus is and was, is the same way the Father is. And so I studied it. And so I became what I studied. And I was so filled with the Father's love. And then it transformed my heart. It transformed my life to the point where now, all these years later, I minister to people on a regular basis on their Father's love, to the point where you're just talking to them and they're crying because the presence of the love of the Father is so real in my life now.
When you talk about talking to people and they're crying, you were in Italy recently ministering on these things, and people literally, as you're speaking, as you're bringing the word, they're weeping, they're being touched by the love of God. Words alone don't do that. But when you say, quote, you paid the price, so it wasn't just one day you thought, okay, I need a revelation of the Father's love, snap your fingers, and you got it. What was the process? How long did it take? What did you do to really get this? So now it's in you to the point that you can supernaturally give it away.
One thing that people don't realize is it's one thing to know the Father's love. It's another thing to experience it and encounter it. Because we can read all the verses in 1 John that God is love, and behold the love of the Father through the New Testament. But the bottom line is His love is meant to be encountered. It's not meant to just know in theory. Everybody knows that God is love. We can read that clearly. But it's meant to be encountered. It's meant to be experienced. And so I said, Father, I want to experience your love. I want to feel it. I want to feel the embrace of the Father's love. I don't want to just read good books about it, and that's fine. I don't want to just read everybody else is teaching and preaching. I have to have it for myself. Otherwise, I don't know how real it is. And because the price that I paid is this, daily spending time, I want to know it. I want to experience it. Going over the scripture until the scripture becomes alive in me about His love. And then it transforms. You have to do it by faith, like anything else in the Bible. If you need a healing, a miracle, if you need the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, you have to receive it by faith. The same thing with the Father's love. The promises are true that nothing can separate you from His love, and He loves you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah says, but you have to receive that by faith. Just like you receive salvation, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive your love, Father. Let it change me. I receive it by faith, but I don't feel anything. I still receive it. I don't feel anything the next day. I'll walk in it. I'll receive it. I'll meditate on it. Like the scripture says, I meditate on the love of God. And if you choose to do that and you do not stop, I promise you, you will encounter the love of the Father like you never dreamed possible.
All right, so again, it's the choice to be in the Word, the choice to believe God. And you say, but I can't make it happen. True, God pushes that button, so to say. God opens our hearts, opens our minds. And then we walk in that sense of divine affirmation. Ron, we've just got a minute and a half, but as people get hold of this, what happens in their lives?
their whole outlook on life changes. The way they communicate with one another, the way they read the Bible. I heard somebody say this one time, everywhere where it says God, put the word Father in there. And it just in the Bible, it just changes you from the inside out. You begin to be filled with God's love, and you look at everything differently because you're no longer looking through the world and through your circumstance as woe is me, or I'm wounded, or I always have trouble, but you're looking at it through the lens of a loving Father.
Amazing. And we come back, Ron, I want to talk to you in our last segment about getting this into children. Getting this understanding into our kids and some things that you've learned now raising your own children. And again, it's not just my grandkids. They're great kids and they're spiritually minded kids. Ryan's got a little mini book. It's called How to Encourage Yourself in the Lord. And you could download it. You can order it. It's inexpensive on Amazon.com. And I encourage you to do it. I encourage you to be encouraged. My son-in-law, Ryan Bruss, B-R-U-S-S. And listen, no matter what you've done, if you come to God asking for forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, He does forgive, He does forget, He does restore. That's our Father. Give us strength
to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know the saying, time flies when you're having a good time. That's my daily routine on radio. Love being on the air with you and love having special guests. So we've got three special guests on this week. If you missed my interview with Keith Collins, who's the director of our School of Ministry, earlier in the week, be sure to go to AskDrBrown.org. You'll be blessed by that. Just click on Line of Fire when you go there and you can listen to the broadcast. And then my son-in-law, Ryan Bruss, today, and then on our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast, Scott Volk and I will be talking another great show, another great interview as I'm coming your way here from Korea, from South Korea. So, Ryan, as we're talking about the love of the Father and the love of God, often it's a challenge, and this is what we're trying to help folks with in Korea, that the faith of the fathers becomes the faith of the sons and daughters, that the faith of the mothers becomes the faith of the sons and daughters. Now, Meg, our daughter, is as sweet as they come, and she's a great mom. She's a devoted mom. She's a loving mom. She has, you know, wisdom that moms have and things like that. And, of course, you as a father, you are absolutely totally involved in the lives of your kids. Eliana now, 15 and a half. She's not gone through some ugly rebellion or something like that. She remains sweet. She's got a heart for the Lord. Andrew, turning 13 in October. You know, he's a spiritually minded kid. He loves playing sports. You know, we'll trash talk when we play against each other, you know, and he's full of himself in that fun little way. But he's a spiritually minded kid. What would you tell parents are some of the keys in terms of having kids that are spiritually minded? It doesn't mean you'll never have a challenge or you've never had challenges with the kids. But what you've seen so far, we can see, hey, there's real success. And then in your house church, the kids get really involved. Our youngest granddaughter visited a few months back when they were here where we all live, and the highlight of her trip was going to the house church, and just she loved it, and she said she almost cried during worship and things. So what would you say are some of the keys? Talk to parents for a bit here.
Mom, Dad, you know that the Bible says that they will know that we're Christians by our love, and Mom, they'll know the love of the Father by the way you receive and give the love of the Father. And Dad, you too. You are such an important role in your kids' lives. But Dad, you got to begin to get any of that old stuff, that old hardness off your heart, and let the love of God touch you. And Mom, let the love of God touch you, because we don't always remember it. And I'm sure there's been many times where I have not. We don't always remember how easily they're watching, how intently they're looking at the way that we react and interact with people, the way things are being talked about within the house of others. And the key to get your kids living in the Father's embrace is, Mom and Dad, you got to do that. You got to demonstrate that. It's not, we have this church, and I see it with families. Whatever is taught in the household, the kids will live out. And if you have the love of the Father as number one priority in your house, I am telling you, your kids will begin to sense that. They will feel it. Let your home be filled with God. Let your home be filled with the presence of God. There's not one home that is perfect. But if you make a mistake, say, guys, kids, I'm sorry. I blew that one. And let's just pray and let's just talk to God right now. And as you talked about our house church, we're doing that with our children. Our children are being used in the gifts. They're prophesying. They're laying hands on the sick. They're receiving and healing, and they're praying for people to be healed. But we're training them right now at even the smallest age where they can talk to live in the embrace of the Father. So like you said, the kids in this generation don't have to go through the unnecessary garbage that most kids seem to go through. Let your kids see God in the way that God wants them to be. God wants himself to be seen. Start with you, mom and dad, and then I promise you, it will trickle down to your kids.
And you believe that little kids can really experience God. I remember some years back in my home congregation that there was an outpouring of the Spirit among the children. They couldn't wait to get to the services. They couldn't wait to pray. They're always under adult supervision in that respect. But you know, if there was someone needed prayer, it was like, I remember them swarming me. I got over by where they were and I got down on my knees next to them. And next thing, they swarmed around me. They just wanted to pray blessing on Dr. Brown and all this. And I remember one girl, she used to look at me passionately. She goes, just go change the world. Just go change the world. I was like, yeah, that was the Spirit speaking. So yeah, they're kids. We're not having them write books and put out training manuals because they're little kids, but they can really experience God. And there's a certain innocence about it, isn't there?
There is. And when a little child, I'm talking about 4 and 5, of course, and up, but when a little child can make the connection that a big God loves them, and not only does a big God love them, but a big God enjoys them, and a big God, their Father, wants to use them even at a young age to touch people, to be a voice for God, we're training our children in our church to listen to God's voice. And during a portion of our house church meeting, we have kids all the time saying, you know, I just saw this vision. I just heard this from God. Is anybody here sick? But the key is, yeah, through the innocence of a child, it's making this big mystery called God and bringing it down to their level. And when reality meets their what they've been taught, everything changes, and you can't talk a child out of it once they get a hold of it.
Yeah, it's they're so impressionable. Think of that picture. Here's a little kid, typical little kid, you know, normal little kid, not some perfectly spiritual child, but regular kid, but wanting to be with God, wanting to worship, excited about that, as opposed to spending hours praying, you know, some violent video game or some death thing. Impressionable kids, God can work in their hearts. And if they've had a messed up childhood, God can certainly restore. And Ryan, we've just got less than 2 minutes. This is a whole other subject. Your mom's been a widow these many years. She remains a prayer warrior. She went through the loss of her own husband to cancer, and yet she remains full of faith. So regardless of what you go through, you can maintain a healthy walk with God.
You can do it. All you have to do is lean on Jesus. Lean on the Father. Rest in his promises. Because God, you need to know this, everybody listening, God never makes a promise. And as Dr. Brown was talking,
Never breaks a promise.
God never breaks a promise. Sorry about that. When Dr. Brown was talking, I felt like there's a number of parents that are thinking, but my kids, they're not doing well. They're doing drugs and they're lost. And I just want to encourage you. You, mom and dad, you pray. You pray for them and you do not give up. He is a faithful God. You keep praying. You keep going after God. You keep believing his promises that he never breaks. And I'm telling you, you will see the fruit of your prayers.
Yeah, amen. So God never makes a promise that he will not keep. He never breaks a promise. Look, we're encouraged in the word to keep on keeping on, because many times you feel like the psalmist, I soak my bed with tears, but the psalmist got the answer. God comes through. Your prayers are never in vain. Well, what a joy to spend time with Ryan. I hope you've been encouraged. Go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Check out our latest articles, our special resource offer, our latest videos, and sign up for our Israel tour. Bottom line today, God is faithful. He will never break a promise he has made.